You. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. My question is, my daughter has Crohn's disease, and she recently found out she had an impacted bowel, and they all told her that she had her intestine was stretched out. My question is, there any way to repair that or bring it back to normal health?
I'm not quite sure how they know it's stretched out. Was that from an X-ray or something?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the chances are, if it is there, that it was caused by the Crohn's disease, wouldn't you say?
I presume so, although they did a stool test and they told her that she didn't have any active Crohn's right now, and she hasn't seemed to be having too many actual Crohn's symptoms, but what precipitated the X-ray was she wasn't feeling good and was having some pain at that time.
Okay. Well, has she had a couple of questions? How old is she?
42.
And has she had bowel disease all her life? When did she start getting Crohn's disease? Couple of
When
history
she
things there.
20.
20. And when did it seem to go away?
She had symptoms the first few years, and then she was never on any meds or anything and seemed to be doing fine. She was able to eat. When she first was diagnosed, she couldn't eat, and she was very thin. She seems to be relatively healthy. And her last colonoscopy, which was quite a while ago, looked like it was okay, and then now this has just flared up. So they've also told her that she's got a severe allergy to dairy, which she wasn't aware of.
There you go, ma'am. Yeah. Okay. All the people I've worked with, it's Crohn's. They've all been allergic to dairy. We get them off the dairy, and a lot of the symptoms go away. However, our bodies are not picky. They never ever have just one allergy and not a whole bunch of other allergies too. And those other allergies can continue to whack into the colon and give it trouble. Now, she got off of dairy. Did she have a full-scale food allergy test to check all of the foods that she was eating?
She had some kind of a blood test done that I guess told her she was eggs, and eggs was one, which she had a fairly severe allergy to, which she never knew, and then all dairy products. That's all that I'm aware of that she's allergic to.
Okay. Well, if she had a blood test, usually those blood tests show anywhere, depending on the lab that does them, anywhere from 50 to 90 foods, no kidding. And one thing to do, and this is not the only thing, but one thing to do would be to go back and take another look and make sure all those allergies, in addition to the dairy and eggs, are out of there. Now, did I hear you say she's unusually thin?
No, she was when she first got diagnosed, but now she's a normal weight.
So the weight's come up a few pounds?
Yeah, I mean, she weighs about, I don't know, 125 or 130 or something. And when
And
she
how
was
tall?
first diagnosed, she was like 100 pounds.
And how tall is she?
She's about 5'8".
Okay. All right. 5'8" and 100 pounds, you said, when she started this?
When she was ill, yes.
And still she's just at 120?
She's probably around 130.
Okay,
She
because as you...
looks at a good weight. She does not look too thin at all. She looks kind of perfect, actually.
Right, back at 100, 120, though, she was definitely underweight for height. So I believe you about how she's looking now at her age. But at that time, and what always comes up is what if one is underweight for height, particularly at age 20 when we should be robust, is what's called hidden gluten sensitivity. Did you get heck checked for that?
She was, and apparently there's absolutely no sensitivity to gluten.
Okay, well, this is, I've got other things for you too, but just one note, ma'am. I do not work for a laboratory that is called ONCO, Onco, or I'm sorry, Entero, Enter, like enter, and then O, and then a lab. So it's very Shakespearean, enterolab.com. But they do the very, very best gluten sensitivity testing I've ever seen. I've now used only them for about 15 years, and they pick it up when nobody else does, and they'll tell you how they do it too. It's on a stool specimen. It's on a stool specimen. And the only reason I bring this up, ma'am, is that many of the blood tests miss the gluten sensitivity because what they're checking is blood cells. But what the Oncolab is doing is they're actually checking the product of the intestines, called a stool specimen, and The first line of defense against anything we're allergic to, the lining of the intestine sends out antibodies against it. And where do those antibodies land? In the stool. So if we check it there, we're much more likely to find it than in a blood test. And the only reason I bring this up, and this is not the last thing I'm going to tell you about, but the only reason I bring this up, ma'am, is because when I run into a 20-year-old who's 5'8" and 100 pounds or 120, even 120 pounds, the odds of that person having hidden gluten sensitivity are much better than 50%. And now what this has to do with what's going on right now is if she does have that hidden gluten sensitivity and she's still eating stuff with gluten in it, it's going to continue to adversely affect her gut. That's what. So the fact that she's gained up to 130 makes it a little less likely. So I'm not going to tell you it was an 80% probability like I would if somebody weighed 100 pounds and they're 5'8". But even so, I'd get it checked. Now, let's go on further. Would very much be wanting to ask, does she get cramps or spasms any? Anywhere in the body. Not the intestines, but it could be the intestines, but ask her. Does she have them in her legs or does she get foot cramps or anything like that that just come out of nowhere? The reason I'd be asking, ma'am, is that, as you know, magnesium has a whole lot to do with muscle relaxation, the mineral magnesium. And if we don't have enough magnesium, then muscles anywhere in the body can go into a spasm, including in the colon, because there's a lot of muscle in the colon. There's muscle in all the intestinal tract. And if the magnesium inside the cells, and this is not the sort of thing that can necessarily be handled with swallowing magnesium pills, sometimes it takes injections. If the magnesium within the cells is not adequate, then those cells are not going to function properly. And so we're going to have an organ such as the colon, which just simply can't work right. In fact, what it'll do is stay in more of a spasm state. And since it stays in a more spasm state, guess what? The opening to get things through isn't as big as it used to be. And so that might put a lot of pressure on that intestine. Now, that is strictly a guess and a theory, ma'am, because I don't run into this very often. But I check with a doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine and get a few of these things looked at, such as the gluten problem and such as her intracellular magnesium.
Okay, but back to the question, if once the intestine does get stressed out, is there any way to bring it back to normal health?
I haven't yet worked with anybody with a for sure stretched out tendon. Reason I brought up what I did is that once we remove the things that are impacting a certain organ, and by the way, that could be the kidneys, that could be the liver, could be the intestine, very frequently over time that organ will bring itself back. We just remove the stuff that's bothering it.
Okay. And then the other question would be, since she's had the x-ray, I think that's magnesium citrate that she's taking to try and clear the bowel out. She's seeing an osteo doctor who's doing some kind of, I think, manipulation to help move it along, but there's still some in there. How important it is to get that out quickly, and what's the fastest way to get it out?
Now, get what out, ma'am? Get what out?
The impacted stool.
Oh, okay. Well, she's used the various fibers they have in the natural food stores for that, hasn't she? They have two or three plant fibers that really help with constipation.
But once it gets hardened in there, and the other stool is bypassing it apparently and going around, so she didn't even know she was constipated because she was actually having bowel movements. The moment she had this x-ray, they said there was, I guess, some it's older impacted in there.
She'd probably have to use enemas for that, ma'am. Now, there are some specialists in colon cleansing. Did you know that? They're called colon therapy clinics. That's all they do. It's colon cleansing, and they use enemas of different sorts. And that's probably where I'd refer someone who has this kind of problem.
I believe she has done that, but I'm thinking maybe that would be more in the lower intestine and not so much in the smaller one. Would it get up that high?
You're quite right. It wouldn't get up to the upper small intestine. But there's another thing that she may or may not have tried. You tell me. as she tried high doses of digestive enzymes on an empty, totally empty stomach, so that those enzymes are the only things going through at that time. Because if we use digestive enzymes, they can digest nearly anything that's in the way, because it's not going to be dry. It's not going to be dry down there, ma'am. There's no way it could be dry. And as long as it's wet, the enzymes can go to work. Now, digestive enzymes are so safe. It's just terrific. Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who was, until he died, a premier treatment of cancer, he was actually having people, and I'm not kidding you at all, ma'am, he cured a lot of people from cancer. He was having people swallow up to 80 digestive enzyme pills a day. I am not kidding. He would say you got to wait for at least an hour to an hour and a half after you eat and an hour to an hour and a half before you eat. And you take 10 or 12 digestive enzymes, and you do that as many times a day as you can. That was part of his cancer curing routine. The only reason I bring it up is it never hurt anybody that Dr. Gonzalez had to do that. And some of those people were cured of cancer. So I'd try the digestive enzyme route for the upper small intestine, ma'am.
Okay, and would we be able to get that like at a compound pharmacy?
No, no, no. Your average health food store, the Tama dispensary, and a compounding pharmacy. They all got it. They're not prescription. They're not prescription. And you, whichever one you go to, just ask someone on the staff who looks like they've been around for a while which one they think is the most effective. And also it helps if it's favored by the most customers, because usually it works.
All right. Well, I'll definitely get her to try that.
Okay, ma'am. We got to go to a break. So thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.